We're starting on the top of Chav Vav and Aleph, the two dots. And this is what we discussed yesterday, which was in the Mishnah, there was a discussion between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva as to the difference in their opinion, which is that Rabbi Akiva believes that Shvuat HaBitui has application both La'avar and Le'atid, whereas Rabbi Shmuel believes that it's only applicable La'atid and not Le'avar. So Rabbi Akiva challenged Rabbi Shmuel's position. And over here, the Gemara is going to have a discussion between them, but more extensive in terms of them bringing the psukim that support their positions, which is Tanu Rabbanan. The pasuk says, "By Shvuat HaBitui lahara ulehetiv, eini ela dvarim sheish behen harav hatava." I would have thought the pasuk is explicit. It says that it applies to items that include hara'a vehatava. Hara'a vehatava are things that are positive or negative. Rashi gives an example of something that is neither positive nor negative, is rok tzur liyam. Again, something that we discussed yesterday, something that is either meaningless, right, has no purpose whatsoever. That's something that's not under the category of hara'a vehatava. So how do I know that's included? She'ein behen hara'a vehatava minayin. How do I know they're included? Talmud Lomar. It says in the pasuk, "O nefesh ki tishava levatei b'sfatayim." So that's the beginning of the pasuk. That's before we have the haradu tava, and then the gemara says, "En li ala laba." The haradu etiv are conjugated in the future tense, right? So how do I know the shavar? How do I know that in the past tense is also true? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, "Ochol hashayiv evatei adam b'shvua." So here's the pasuk by Shvuat HaBitui. It says, "O nefesh, ki tishava, levatei b'svatayim." So that's the one part of the klal. Again, we're going to see this in a second. I'm giving away the next piece of the Gemara. But then it says, "La'arau etiv," which is the prat that defines what this Shvuah is about. And then it says, "Ochol hashayivatei adam b'shvua." So you have a klal, uprat, uklal, or ribui miot, or ribui. But you have, that's what Rabbi Kiva is quoting over here. Rabbi Kiva says, okay, I have the haralu etiv, which is basically future tense, v'ara and atava. How do I include something that's not future tense? That's the klal afterwards. How do I include something that's not haran tava? That's the klal beforehand. And that is the position of Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah. So that's divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel, on the other hand, says la relativ lahaba. So it's very simply. The pasuk says la relativ. La relativ is a future tense. If it's a future tense, that's the only thing that's included under Shvuat HaBitui. So then Rabbi Akiva challenges. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Im kein ein li ela dvarim sheish ben hatava b'hara. If you want to read everything literally, if you want to take it very literally and say it only applies to the future, well, that means that you also could only apply it to things that are haran hatava. How do I know that things that are beyond haran hatava are not haran hatava are also included over here? Dvarim sheish ben hatava b'hara minayin. Amar lo mi ribui hakatuv. Rabbi Shmuel says, no problem. There's a ribui in the pasuk. Rekiv says, well, amelo im riba katuv lekach. If you could find a ribo in the pasuk to include things that are not haran atava, then riba katuv lekach. Then you can find something in the pasuk. It also includes the avar. There's a ribo for the avar. And the Gemara says, shaper kamalei Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva has a good point. What is Rabbi Shmuel saying over here? Akar Rabbi Shmuel has a ribo for one piece and not a ribo for the other piece. So here it comes down to the fundamental machlokus between them in drash, which is Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shmuel, Shishime Shet Mnichunyak Ben Akanam, that Rabbi Shmuel, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Nechunyak Ben Akanam, this was the Mesora that Rabbi Yochanan had. Therefore, Hayah Doresh Et Kolatura Kula Bichlalu Prat. Rabbi Nechunyak Ben Akanam used the vehicle of Klatu Prato Guchlau, or Klalu Prat, in order to darshan whenever you have general statements and particular statements. He used this principle of Klalu Prato Guchlau. Therefore, over here, Iunami Doresh B'Klalu Prat. Therefore, over here, Rabbi Shmuel uses a Klalu Prat Uchlam. Rabbi Akiva Shishimesh Et Nachum Ish Gamzu. Right, so Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Nachum Ish Gamzu. Shaya Doresh Et Kol HaTorah Kula B'Riba Umiyut. And Nachum Ish Gamzu's methodology for darshan the Torah, when he had general statements and particular statements, was to use the vehicle of, or the school of thought of Riba Umiyut. Iunami Doresh Riba Umiyut. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva will darshan Riba Umiyut. So over here we saw before, there's a klal before, there's a harau etiv, which is the particular statement, and then we have a klal again afterwards. Now if you learn klal uprato klal, that means that, ain, right, then we say that the klal includes everything, ke'ein aprat, something that's domeh, similar to the prat, so that's what's included over here. On the other hand, if you learn riboy, miot, riboy, that means that you're merabit everything, and the miot that's found in between is mimayet, one particular item. There's one thing that we're going to exclude, otherwise everything's included. So that's exactly what the Gemara is explaining here. So my Rabbi Akiva, the Darish Ribuya Miyute. What is this? The Tanya, O Nefesh Kiti Shava. That's the klal in the beginning, or riba in the beginning. The Haralu Eitiv is miyet. The chola sheivate adam chazar riba. Riba umiyet riba. Riba akol. So that's it. We know the principle of riba miyot. Riba is riba akol. So there, my riba. Riba kol mile. Comes to include, includes everything. My miyet. So what's excluded from this? Miyet dvar mitzvah. The only thing that's excluded from Shuat HaBitui is Dvar Mitzvah. Rashi over here, when we're describing what is a Dvar Mitzvah, Rashi calls it Dvar She'ef Sharhu. Taking a Shavuah on a Mitzvah is something that's impossible. Shuat HaVatelet Mitzvah is an impossible Shavuah. V'hu Adin L'meshaneh Tayyadua La'adam. That's the same thing as a Shavuat Shav. He equates the two. He equates a Shavuah and a Mitzvah and a Shavuat Shav as to be one category. And that's the category that Rabbi Akiva is excluding. That's not included in Shuat HaBitui. Shavuot HaBitui and Shavuot Shav are actually different problems or different issues. Shavuot Shav is something that is never chal. It's something that the main problem is that you even articulated something in this fashion which has no meaning or no bearing. Shavuot HaBitui is not the problem, is obviously not the problem of whether you should have said or not said it. You're permitted to say it. The question now is, are you telling the truth in the Avar? And in the future, whether you're going to be Mamait, you're going to make sure that what you said comes true. So therefore, those are Shavuot HaBitui, and Shavuot Shav is something that's very different or outside that realm. Tosfos over here introduces the possibility that Rabbi Akiva could have also excluded things that do not have parallel hain and lav. We saw that everybody agrees that if you can't formulate it both in the positive and negative form, that it's not a Shavuot HaBitui. Or also, according to Shmuel, if you can't formulate something avar in the haba, that's also not. That's Tosfos wants to say that they're all included here also. Those are all excluded in the same miut. Whereas Rashi seems to focus on Shavuot Shav, which is something that's distinctly different. That's something that's distinctly different from Shavuot Bitui, because it doesn't function the same way that a Shavuot Bitui does, and that's what's excluded. Hain and Lav are technical miutim, not something that's that we're in my eight because of the difference from the Shavuot Bitui. On the other hand, Rabbi Shmuel is Darish Klal Uprat. Shmuel uses the vehicle of Klal Uprat. E O Nefesh Kiti Shavada Vatebis Fataim, Klal. Laharalu Eitiv is Prat. The Choleshe Yvate Adam, Chazaru Klal. Klal Upratu Klal, Yata Adan, Elokena Prat. You have a Klal Upratu Klal, the Klal includes everything that is similar to the Prat. Ma Prat Mifurash Lahaba. Just like the Prat, this particular item that is mentioned over here is talking in the future tense. Avkol Lahaba. So too, all items that are talking in future tense, those are included. So hani klala latuye afilu dvarim she'ein ba'en arava tava laba. And therefore the klal, upratu klal, has the ability to include things that don't have haraha tava, as long as they qualify or they are similar to the prat in the fact that they have this item. What's this common item? Is that they're all formulated in the future tense. Ahani prata, on the other hand, a klal upratu klal means that something that's dome le prat is included, but that means something different than the prat is excluded. What's the thing that's different from the prat? That's why it says, ahani prato, over here, limi'ute, I feel dvarim shesh behen, harava tava l'she avar. That even though they have harava tava, which is similar to harava yuti, but since it's in the past tense, that's not included over here. So the obvious question, which the Gemara is going to ask over here, which is, wait, I have a prat, which is harav leitiv. Now I have two choices about, right, the harav leitiv has two characteristics to it. One characteristic is that it's formulated in the future. The other characteristic is that it's the harav leitiv. So now you tell me, why do I pick one that's the inclusive for the klal and one's the exclusive? How do I know which one? And as the Gemara says, ipochano, why don't you just flip it around? Who says, let's say that we include everything that's hara and hatava. It doesn't matter avar atid, as long as it's hara and hatava. If it's not hara and hatava, then we'll exclude it. So we could have said that that's the dome le prat. So the Gemara's answer is, Amrav Yitzchak, dumya dalarao leitiv. It has to be similar to hara itiv, which is, mi shi isuro mishum bal yachel divaro. It has to be somebody who thinks that, it has to be something that comes, or the isur that is generated because of the bal yachel divaro, that he does not violate his word. Yatztazu shein isuro mishum bal yachel divaro. Right, that's not true of a shvuah in the avar. Shvuah about the past is not a problem of bal yachel divaro. We're not worried about you violating what you said. What are we worried about? We're worried about you lying, right? Not telling the truth. Ela mishum bal tishakru. So they actually function differently, and this is something we discussed yesterday in the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Again, we discussed that there's a possible difference in how you view shvuah avar versus shvuah la'atid. And again, the possibility that we introduce, I think Rav Soloveitchik mentioned it yesterday, with the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, you can introduce this same type of idea here by Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, which is that, what is the Shvuala Haba? If you're talking about a Shvuala Haba, that is very similar to the Shvuala Avar, which is that the intent, what we want from you when you make a statement, when you make a Hafla'ah, when you make a Shvuah, is that we want you to be telling the truth. In the past, we want to make sure that you're telling the truth about what has transpired already. Or in the future, we want you to go and take action to ensure that your statement is true. In that sense, you would equate Avar and Atid, and that would be the position of Rabbi Akiva. We're talking about a similar type of Shvuah, whether it's the Avar or the Atid, it's all about the truth. On the other hand, Rabbi Shmo, and this is Rabbi Yitzchak's explanation here, is that we're talking about different types of Shvuah. I mean, talking about the Shvuah Shavar, that's talking about Ba'at Tashakru. That's all about truth. The Avar is all about whether you tell the truth or you're not telling the truth. On the other hand, the Atid is Ba'al Yachel Dvaro. Ba'al Yachel Dvaro is what we discussed yesterday, is the possibilities that when you take a Shvuah Atid, we're not worried about you being ma'amate, your Hafla'ah, but rather, once you've taken a Shvuah Atid, you've generated a new Isur, or you've generated a new Asay. You've created a new Mitzvah. And then you have Ba'al Yachel Dvaro. Don't violate the Mitzvah that you've created. Don't violate the Isur that you created. That's different than the Shvuah Shavar. And that might exactly be why Rabbi Shmuel here in the Klal Uprat Uchlal does not include the Shvuah Avar and does include Shvuah Atid that are of different manifestations, because he views a Shvuah Atid very differently than the Shvuah Shavar. They function differently, and they're a different type of Shvuah. And that might be part of the Ikar Machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Obviously, it's Riba Amiyo to Riba versus Klal Uprat Uchlal, but it might have to do with their understanding of Shvuah Atid versus the Shvuah Avar. All right, now we have an alternative answer, which is the alternative answer is from Yitzchak Bar Avin, that says, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avin, Amar Kra, O Nefesh Ki Tishava Levatei Bisfatayim. Mi Shashvua Kodemet Lebitui. The Pasuk says, Nefesh Ki Tishava Levatei. Shvua before Bitui. Now, Bitui is not literally, I mean, Bitui just means the statement or the articulation of the Shvua. But here, the Gemara is using Bitui as a code word for the action that is taken over here. So that means that Kiti Shavah, he takes the Shvuah first, and then afterwards he has the Bitui. I mean, he's articulating an action that he will take. And therefore, it's Misha Shvuah Kodemet LeBitui. The Shvuah comes first, and then he takes action on the Shvuah. Velosha Bitui Kodemet LeShvuah. As opposed to a Shvuah on the Avar, where it's the other way around. The action has already taken place. The event has already transpired. Now you're taking a Shvuah about something that's in the past. Yotzezeh, achalti v'lo achalti, shema'aseh kodem l'shvuah. Right, so we come to exclude the case of achalti v'lo achalti, where the ma'aseh has already transpired, and you're taking a Shvuah, but it ma'aseh already happened. And that's not the case that the Torah is talking about. The Torah is talking about a case of kiti shavah livatei. Shvuah, then bitui. And again, bitui doesn't, bitui, the literal meaning of bitui is to express or articulate, but here meaning bitui means that what you're articulating you will do. It's something that you will, has not transpired yet, but something that you intend, or something that you are claiming that you will do, or not do. The Gemara says, Tana Banan. The Gemara is going to now bring a Braita over here. This Braisa, the Gemara afterwards will then dissect the Braisa and spend time on each part of the Braisa, which is Tana Banan. Hadam Bishvua says that, right, by the, that a person takes a Shvua, Praat Lanus. It has to be something that's done willingly by the individual, not something where he's under duress. We'll have to see what the duress is. The Gemara is going to ask, what is the duress over here? Vene elam, right? He forgets. Prat lemezid. If he's doing it intentionally, he hasn't forgotten. That we know by, there's no such thing as shvat bitui, carbon all over your head, by mezid, by shvat bitui. Mimenu, that it, from him, shinit alma mimenu shvua. So that he forgot the shvua. Yocho shinit alma mimenu chefetz. I would have thought that he forgot the object itself. Tamalomar bishvua v'ne'elam. It says that he forgot the shvua and not the chefetz. Al helem shvuahu chayav, v'enu chayav el helem chefetz. He's chayav for forgetting the shvua, but not forgetting the item or the object itself. Again, the Gemara will dissect this and explain what this means. This is very similar. This should, you know, probably ring a bell about what we saw earlier in the Masechta when it came to Tumat Mikdash Kedoshav, where the Gemara there said that there's a machlokas whether it's only in helem tumah or also in helem mikdash. Right, again, says, did you forget the one object? And the Gemara is actually going to quote the at the end of the Amud here, it's going to quote the Gemara identically from Tumat Mikdash Kudashav about the same formulation about what the Halama is. So now the Gemara says, Amar Mar, here we go to dissect it. Hadam Bishvua Prat Lanus. Can't say, okay, exclude a case of Anus of duress. Hechi Dami. What's a case of duress? Kid Rav Kahano Viravasi. It's like the case of Rav Kahana and Rav Asi. Kehavu kaimi mikamei derav. And they were sitting before Rav. So again, Rav is not present at that time, or he stepped out, whatever it is. Mar amar shvuato dehochi amar Rav. One of them takes a shvuah. This is what Rav said. And this is what the Rebbe said. This is what Rav said. He takes a shvua to that effect. Umar amar shvua to dochi amar Rav. And the other one takes a shvua that this is what Rav said. Now, again, it's clear that they have difference of opinion over here. They're each taking a shvua to be, right, to uphold their position and to show the seriousness of their position. They're taking a shvua that this is what Rav says. Kiyatu Rav, kamei de Rav, they came before Rav, or they spoke to Rav afterwards, and amar kechad minayu. And of course, Rav could only say like one of them. He can't say like both of them. So Rav determined, through Rav, they determined that one of them was correct, one of them is not correct. It's interesting, the Gemara never tells you who was or was not correct. So Amar Leidach, so the other one says, Va'ana b'shikra ishtavai? He says, did I take a shvat sheker now? Meaning that the fact that I was wrong, did I take a shvat sheker? So Rav's response to him is, Amar Leid, libcha nascha. That your lave was, you're an anus here because of your lave. You thought you were right. When you took the shvua, under the assumption that you were absolutely correct. You thought your knowledge, every information that you had at that time was that you thought you were absolutely correct, and the shvua that you took was absolutely correct. To find out later or subsequently that it was incorrect, the Gemara, the second half of today's daf, was going to discuss what the case of Shogeg is. We'll get there. Tosafos asks over here, when we say, over here, Rav said to him that it's not a shvua sheker, what did he mean from that? Does he mean that he's just potter from korban, but he's not potter from the onesh? Or does he mean potter over here means that he's potter legamre? He's totally potter over here. And Tosus wants to make an argument that he's potter legamre. This is a case where he's not. When Rav said to him that it's not shvat sheker, he didn't just simply mean that it's not shvat sheker, you don't have to bring a korban. He means that you're potter mi onish, that there's no onish over here. And the example that he brings is that the Gemara in the Dorim says, Kashem shenidre shkagot mutarim. Kach shvuot shgagot mutarot. Umefarish hechi dami shvuot shgagot. What's the case of shvuot shgagot? Kit Rav Kahana, Rav Asi. That's a case of shvuot shgagot. That is a case of Rav Asi and Rav Kahana. So over here, the shvuot shgagot is what you were asking, Shoal, which is that it is called the shogeg of sorts. This is not the absolute, this is not ones that we think about like a chola Torah kula, where a person under duress of sorts, right? But the shogeg over here is something that's not the classic case of shogeg, where someone forgets a piece of information and therefore acts on that piece of information. Shvua based on that lack of information. Over here, this is something that is much closer to the case of onus, which is the case of a person of the Nidre Shkagagot and the Shvuot Shkagagot. Gemara says, continues into dissect this Braiso. And the Gemara says, okay, V'ne'alam mimenu, sh'nit'alem mimenu shvua, yachol, sh'nit'alem mimenu chayfetz, tamalomer b'shvua, v'ne'alam mimenu, al-helem shvua hu chayav, enu chayav al-helem chayfetz, michaku alei b'marava. I don't know if it should be really be machakuala b'marava, but in Eretz Yisrael they used to laugh. I mean, here it's a brisa that has no author to it. So I don't know who's machakuala, but the author of the brisa or machakuala on this brisa, they would laugh about this brisa or this limut. Bishlama shvua mishkachala b'lo chayfetz. I can create a case of shvua without the chayfetz. Kigon, what's the example of that? Demar shvua shlo chal pat chitin. Person says, I will not eat a loaf of wheat bread. And he makes a mistake thinking that when he took the shvua, he said, I will eat. Instead of thinking that he said, I won't eat, he thinks, I will eat. So there he forgot the shvua. That's helem shvua. But there's no helem chefetz. He knows the shvua was about a pat chitim. And he knows, he just forgets whether it was to consume a pat chitim or not to consume a pat chitim. So there you have helem shvua without a helem chefetz. Right? So that's what he says. Oh, the shvua te inche. He forgets his shvua. He remembers the chavitz. He knows he spoke about a patchitin. He just doesn't know what the shvua was that he took on this patchitin. How can you ever have a case of a chavitz without a shvua? Kegon, what's the case? Kegon damar, shvua shlo ochal patchitin. So what's the case? He took a shvua that he's not going to eat a patchitin. Uchasavar shel seorim kamar. And he thinks that he took the shvua on a pat seorim. Right, he remembers he took a shvua not to eat something. Right, chevtza inche. He forgot the chevtza. He forgot what they was taken about. Came into chevtza inche lehu. Hainu helem shvua. If he forgets which chevetz he took the shvua about, that means he also forgot the shvua. I mean, you can't separate the two items. Forgetting about what you took the shvua is, that means that you forgot the shvua as well. I mean, the two can't be separated. You can't tease them apart because the shvua included the chevetz itself. And so if you forget the chevetz, you've also forgotten this shvua. In the end, you're right. there's a step here, which is, yes, he forgets the chavetz, but by forgetting the chavetz, he also, that means he forgot the shvuah that he took, because he's not remembering that he remember he took, he's not going to eat something. But if he forgot what he said he's not going to eat, then it means he doesn't remember the shvuah that he took. He says, there's no difference. You can't separate between chavetz and shvuah, at least in the case by chavetz. You can tease the shvuah away from the chavetz, but you can't tease the chavetz away from the shvuah. Matkifla Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asked, Shaul, this is your question. You can't find a chavetz without a shvuah. I'll give you the case, which is what Shaul said. So the person says, I will not eat a loaf of bread made out of, wheat bread. He sticks his hand into the basket and he's going to pull out a patzeorim. He's intending to take out a barley loaf. And instead he ends up with a loaf of bread of chitim. Right? And kasover seorimi. But he thinks it's seorim. This is the case that you were suggesting. Vachla, now he eats it. Dishwate dachirle. He has no question about the shvuah. He knows he took a shvuah that he's not going to eat a pat chitin. Right? Cheftzahu delo yodele. What he doesn't know is that the item in his hand is actually under the shvuah, because he thinks the item in his hand is not included in the shvuah. He thinks the chefetz that he's holding is not a pat chitin, but rather a pat seorim. So here you go. I've separated out the chayfets. I know the shvuah. I know exactly what I took the shvuah out. I'm making a mistake about the chayfets itself. So Amar Le Abaye, Klo Mechayvet Le Karban El Amay De Tofis Biyodei. Right. So what is the whole reason he's going to end up bringing a korban here? Is the reason he's going to bring a korban here is because he forgot what he had in his hand, or because of the shvuah that he took? In the end, it turns out that it's a helem shvuah here. It's the forgetting of the shvuah. It's the misapplication of the shvuah, which makes him chayev, either because he doesn't remember what the shvuah stated, or because the chayfetz in his hand thinks that the shvuah does not apply to this chayfetz. But either way, it's the misapplication of the shvuah, and that's what brings him to a chiyuv karban over here. So now, lishna achrino, another lishna over here, which is, amalei abayi le Reb Yosef. Sof, karban du komaiti aloh du haipat miyat helem shvuahi. So that's Abai says to Rav Yosef in the end, right? This is the statement that Abai made at the end, that in the end that the Shvuah is generated by the fact that he forgot that the misapplication of the Shvuah. Rav Yosef Amalacha, Rav Yosef on the hand says, no. Kaven dechiyodele dechitinu parish minei helem chefetzu. That's exactly, had he known that the item that he was holding in his hand was a pat chitim, then he would not have consumed it. That fact makes it that the halama here, or the forgetting, or the problem here is the chefetz and not the shvuah. He says, I can tell you, because if he knew it was a pat chitim, he would not have consumed it. That mere fact tells you that the problem here is he doesn't know what's in his hand, rather than the forgetting of the shvuah. The shvuah, if he knows if he had proper information, he would have kept the shvuah, and he would not have violated the shvuah. The violation over here all comes from his misunderstanding about what he has in his hand. So now, boy minei rova mi Rav Nachnam, helam zib zib yado mahu. And this is something that we saw b'tumat mikdash u'kedashav. Gemara brings the exact same statement down. What happens if he forgets both of them? He forgets both the chefetz and the shvuah. Samalei, hare helem shvuah biyado v'chayav. Well, what's the problem? If you need to forget the shvuah to be chayav, he forgot the shvuah, he's chayav. Says adarabah, hare helem chefetz biyado patur. Wait, if you think that helem chefetz is patur, then he also forgot the chefetz. He should be patur over here. Samaravashi chazinat imach mat shvuah koparish hare helem shvuah biyado. If the reason that he stops over here, or what stops him from continuing to consume the item over here, is because of the shvuah, then helam shvuah biyado v'chayav. Im achmat chefetz kaparish. If he remembers because of the chefetz, then are helam chefetz biyado patur. Then it's helam chefetz and he's patur. Again, now Ravina is going to ask. Amar lei Ravina, the Ravashi, klom parish mishvuah le mishum chefetz, klom parish mechefetz le mishum shvuah. You need both items in order to create. The person leaves because he has a shvuah about a specific item. So unless he has the shvuah and the chefetz, he's not going to stop eating. The person is not going to stop eating a barley bread because he didn't take a shvuah about a barley bread, and barley bread is not wheat bread. So there's nothing to talk about. You have to have both the shvuah and the chefetz together, or what caused the person to separate over here. Zeloloshna, how could you differentiate? Now, again, we spoke about this back when we discussed it back in the earlier part of the Masechta, that this is a great question. I mean, Ravina's question is so strong, then what was Rav Ashi thinking? Over there, Tosafot gave two explanations or two understandings of what it means. Tosa says, well, is it the understanding of what Rav Ashi says, or how do we explain Rav Ashi is what triggered his remembering? I mean, what was it that triggered him to remember the problem over here? Ain't all chanami in the end. In order to remember, he needs to know the shvuah, he needs to know the a chefetz. But what was it that triggered him to remember that there was a problem here? He had forgotten both the chefetz and he has forgotten the shvuah. What caused him to remember both of these items? What tripped him up? Was it the fact that he remembered all of a sudden it's wheat bread, and then he goes, oh my gosh, wheat bread, oh, and shvuah, that's what triggered his, you know, the thought? Or is the other way around? He's eating, he goes, oh my gosh, the shvuah. And then he remembers this is wheat bread. I mean, that what was that triggered him? That's one explanation Tosfos gives. The other explanation Tosfos gives is what's the second item he says. If he remembers first, oh, this is wheat bread, and he goes, oh my gosh, shvuah, then the thing that's mechayev him is the shvuah, because it's always the second item. The second item is the item that generates the chiyuva karban, and that remembering, because that's the yidiyah that you need at the end, right? You always have the halama and then a yidiyah. The eventual yidiyah is the second item. And then Tosfos gives that a second explanation according to Rav Ashi, which is that whatever you remember second is what generates the yidiyah that's going to make you chayav in the karban. But Tosfos, in giving the explanation, gives some understanding to Rav Ashi's statement and why Ravina's question is, okay, yes, Ravina's question is good, but Rav Ashi, you can explain Rav Ashi to have some sort of logic or sense to him. All right, so now the Gemara says, Boi mine rovo mi Rav Nachman. Rav asked Rav Nachman, Ezehi shigigat shvuat bitui lishavar. What's a case of shigigat shvuat bitui shalavar, which is basically Shaul's question. Shaul's question is, if you tell me that Rav Asi, right, and Rav Kahana, when they took the shvuah about their statements, that was a shvuah le'avar about a statement they made, that's an anus, then what's the case? Tell me the case where it's a shvuat bitui and shigigat le'avar. What's this case? Idiyada, if he knows the information, Mezidhu. Idelo yada, if he doesn't know the information, anusu, which is what we said before. So exactly your question, Shaul. How do I differentiate here between anus and shogeg? So Amalei, Bomer, Yodeani, Shvua zu asura. I know that you're not allowed to take this or violate this shvua, or you know, I'm not allowed to take the shvua because it's not going to be true. Avil en yodei mchayven alei karban olav. But I don't know that the punishment for this shvua is a korban. It's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable thing that this is called shogeg. That even though if I know that I'm doing something wrong, but I don't know that when I do this wrong, it's going to obligate me to bring a korban, that's classified as a case of shogeg. That's classified as a type of shogeg over here. So the Gemara says, Keman, who's the author of this position? The Gemara says, it's like Munbaz. Munbaz is the position brought in Klal Gadol in the Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara says, Damar shigigat karban shma shigigam. That forgetting the korban is classified as a shogeg that can bring you to a chatat, that can help you to reach the point of chatat over there. Now the Gemara says, you know what? Over here, it doesn't just have to be munbaz. Here, afilu teimer rabbonon. Even the rabbonon could be the authors of this position over here. Ad kan lo plige rabbonon alei de munbaz rabbonon b'chol haTorah kula, that they argue munbaz is el b'chol haTorah kula de lav chidushu, because there's no chidush over there. Aval hocha de chidushu. Right, over here, that's a chiddushu. They would agree. The b'chol haTorah kula ashkachan lav de mighty karbon. What's so unique about the korban olev yorei, the korban of shvuat habitui, is because the rest of the chataot will yuv yafina me'avodah zarah. All the chataot in the Torah are generated by something that if you did b'mezid, you'd be chayav karet. Right, so you have a chiyuv karet b'mezid, you have a chatat b'shogeg. This is the only time in the Torah where you have a case of shvuat habitui. Shvuat habitui, you're going to bring a korban on something, b'shogeg, that b'mezid, you know what you're going to get? Malkot. That's all you get is malkot. So this is an unusual case. This is a chiddush or an exceptional case. So since it's an exceptional case, the lack of knowledge that the punishment for shogeg is a korban is classified as shogeg over here. Even according to Rabbanan, b'chol haTorah kula, they say, look, you have a kares involved in mezid, then that shogeg, the korban's an automatic outcome of the fact that there's karet. Over here, that's not true. If I look at the mezid part of it, I don't know, right? I know that I'm taking shvuah, that's a surah. That shouldn't automatically bring me to the knowledge that there would be a shogeg, it would be a korban. So therefore, this is classified as a shogeg, even according to the Rabbanan over here, not knowing that the chiyuv for the shogeg is a korban, is a shigigah in this case, even according to the Rabbanan. The Gemara says, V'alchamayti, over here, by a korban olive, you bring it, afilu mobanamote, over here, the Rabbanan would agree to that position. So, by mine, ravino miravo, nishba ala kikar, nishba ala kikar, umistaken alei. The person takes a shvuah that he will not consume a piece of bread. Then he's in a position of pikuach nefesh. Right, so mahu, what's the din over here? So, Mizgar said, mahu. So he's asking a question. He goes, Mistaken, Lishulaymar. What's the question? Let's take a mark. If he comes to you and asks you this Shaila, what are you going to paskin for him? eat the bread. It's pikuach nefesh. What's your shaila about whether it's chayav, shvuah, bitui, shvuah, bitui? There's nothing to talk about here. We're talking about pikuach nefesh, mutar lechatchila. Meaning that if he eats it here because he forgot the shvuah, what's the difference? Even if he knew about the shvuah and he showed up and asked you the question, you're going to tell him it's mutar anyway. So there's no shaila. So he says, no, the case is bimitztayer. Right, so now, the case is ele bimitztayer v'ochla b'shigigat shvuah. He was in a position of mitztayer, and then he eats it, b'shigigat shvuah, and he forgets the shvuah, mai, what's the din here? Three-way machloket as to what the problem is here. Rashi, Tosfot, and the Rambam. Rashi says mitztayer. Mitztayer means that he is in pain, berav. He's hungry. He's overcome with hunger. He's not b'sakanat nefashot. It has to be a downgrade. It's not exactly sakanat nefashot, but he's very hungry. Ve'inami lo nit'amu menu hayochla. And even if he remembered the shvuah, he would eat it. Function of him forgetting the shvuah is not what is making him or what's allowing him to eat the bread over here. Even if he knew about the shvuah, he would have ate it because he was so hungry. He was ravenous. He could not hold himself back. He wanted to eat the bread. He would have eaten the bread, even the face of the shvuah. Just happens that he happened not to remember the shvuah as well. So since he doesn't remember the shvuah, what's the din here? Does the forgetting of the shvuah have any bearing? Because if he remembered the shvuah, is that called helem shvuah? How could you call it Helem Shvuah? Because if he remembered the Shvuah, he wouldn't have changed his mind about it. So you can't say that the forgetting of the Shvuah is what generated this problem over here. That's Rashi's explanation. So now Tosva says, Mitztayer. What's the case of Mitztayer? He disagrees with Rashi's Pshat, and he says, no. He says, Nir Lefarish here, the Mitztayer al Moshe Enu Shocheach. Shehaya Rotzono Shishkach. He's Mitztayer that he didn't forget the Shvuah. He wants to forget the Shvuah so he can eat over here. He's upset at himself that he remembered the shvuah in this case. He says, oh my gosh, I remembered I'm on a diet, so now I can't eat. I mean, like, he remembers the fact, that he wants to forget, he remembers over here. Intentionally, he would not eat it. So now he's overcome by the tsar in this case, and so therefore he eats it. But had he, you know, in a case of Mezid, he would never intentionally go ahead and eat it. He's just upset here that he didn't forget the shvuah, and he says, I'm so hungry, and he goes ahead and eats it. All right, but that's, the Tosfos calls that a case of shogeg, because there's an exogenous variable that's causing him to violate the shvuah. It's not, again, if all things had been equal, he would not have violated the shvuah. There's a problem here. There's this variable called tsar, and that tsar is what's compelling him over here. Rambam, on the other hand, creates a case, and he says it's ba'omer mutar, basically, which is that he says, I know that pikuach nefesh is doche the shvuah. Had it been pikuach nefesh and doche the shvuah, he categorizes tsar in the same area as pikuach nefesh. He says that, when I'm ravenous and I want to eat, you know, I mean, I see the Kiddush on Shabbos, that's the equivalent. To have to not eat the Kiddush on Shabbos is the equivalent of Pikuach Nefesh to him. If I have to hold myself back from the Kiddush on Shabbos, that's Pikuach Nefesh, because that's the tsar that I'm holding myself back over here. So he says, Omer Mutar, that's what his claim is over here. So in all these cases, there is a variable that is compelling him to eat the item. According to Tosafot, the compelling item is the tsar is causing him to violate the shvuah. According to the Rambam, the tsar is what is making him say Omer Mutar, and then he's consuming based on the fact that he thinks it's a pikuach nefesh. The Rashi says the tsar is what's causing him to eat, but he doesn't remember the shvuah, but had he remembered the shvuah, he would have eaten it. So in all these cases, the violation of the shvuah is not really because of the halama. According to Tosfot and the Rambam, he knows about the shvuah and he's eating it. So there is no halama here. According to Rashi, if he had known about it, he would have eaten it anyway. So the halama is not what generating it here. In order to be chayav shvuah bitu, we need a halama. And that's missing in this case. So that's what the question is. Mao, what's the din over here? We have a Mishnah. It's an explicit Mishnah. We know what it is. Shav mi viato mi vi korban al shigugato. Lo shav mi diato, ein mi vi korban al shigugato. I'll tell you what. What shav mi diato means that the knowledge of the shvuah or the knowledge of the missing information would stop you from taking this action. There's halama, there's a forgetting. And then shav mi diato means that I now have knowledge. And with that knowledge, I'm bringing the korban, because that's the idiyah. But that idiyah, had I had it beforehand, I wouldn't have done this action. Korban, the chiyuv korban, caused me to shav midiyato. The problem is that I didn't have that in all these cases. According to Rashi, had I known about the shvuah, I would have eaten it anyway. So there's no shav midiyato. Knowledge wouldn't have changed the outcome of the case. And according to Tosfot and the Rambam, you knew about the shvuah all the way along. You knew about the shvuah. Nevertheless, because of the tsar, you go ahead, either because of Omer Mutar or because of the tsar, you're overcome by this ravenous need for food or hunger. Therefore, you eat it despite the shvuah. So your knowledge of the shvuah is not changing the circumstance. So therefore, it's not shav midiyato. That halama is not bringing you to a yidiyah that would change the outcome of the case. And in that case, there's no korban. So therefore, you're not going to bring a korban in this case. It's true of any shogeg in the Torah. This statement is Bryce has said about any shogeg in the Torah. A person shogeg b'Shabbos, and then he finds out. He forgot that it was Shabbos, and he does something. And then he finds out it's Shabbos. So then that's why he says, oh my gosh, I wouldn't have done it. Had I known it was Shabbos, I wouldn't have done it. But if we tell him afterwards it's Shabbos, he says, that doesn't matter. I would have done it anyway. That's not Shav Midiyato. That person doesn't bring a Korban Shogeg. There is a machlokas in the Rishonim why he doesn't bring it. Is it because he's a mumar? That's the problem over here. It's not Shav Midiyato. It's a person that this person doesn't care about this Aveiro. And that's why he can't bring the Korban over here, because he's a mumar. Or is the problem here that he doesn't have Haloma and Yediyah? I mean, that he's lacking in one of the technical aspects of the Korban, or something that can obligate you in the Korban Shogeg. So that is a machlokas Rishonim about why it is that you don't bring a Korban in this case. Is it a technical problem, or is it because you're a mumar? But this has that broader application. It's not just true of Shuat Bitui. It has broader application to any Shogeg in the Torah that you bring a Korban Chatat for. In those instances, you need Shav Midiyato, that the knowledge that you have in the end changes your perspective towards the Aveira that you violated. Right now, this is a new statement, new sugya. Amar Shmuel, Gamar b'libo tzarich shiotzi b'sfatav. That you have to, something that you are thinking, you must articulate. It's not enough to think about a shvua, you must articulate the shvua. How do I know this? Pasuk says, Shenemar levatei b'sfatayim. It says that you have to, right, articulate, you have to say, speak out, b'sfatayim, with your lips. So Meitavei, we have a Braisa that presents a problem. Now the Braisa is a question on Shmuel, but the Braisa itself is problematic, which the Gemara will address first, which is Bisfatayim velo belev. So that the Pasuk says, Livate Bisfatayim, means that you have to articulate, you must have a manner of speech in order to create a Shvu'ah, velo belev, not something that you did in your heart. Then the Mishnah Braisa says, Gomar belibo minayin. How do I know if he just thought about it that it works? Tamaloma lochol ha-sheivate adam bishvu'ah. So the difference is that the first part of the pasuk, the two klalim that we've been using until now, one klal includes the word svatayim, the second klal does not include the word svatayim, which is, O nefer ki tishaval vatei b'svatayim, that's the first klal. The second klal says, L'chol ha-shei vatei adam b'shvua. So in the first klal, it uses the term svatayim, the second one it doesn't. So that's the brisa that suggests here, that the word svatayim comes to teach you svatayim, yes, lev, no. And then the second case where it omits the term svatayim, that teaches you that lev works. So now the question on Shmuel is clear, because the brisa says that lev works. But the problem is the brisa itself now has two limudim. One limud that says svatayim works, lev doesn't work. And then a second limud that says the lev does work. So you have a stira in the brisa itself, so the Gemara has to deal with that first. The Gemara says, Agufa kasha, amart bisvatayim velo belev, vada amarta gemar belo minayin. So Amar Rav Sheish says, alo kasha, that's not a problem. Hochi kamar, this is what it means. Bisvatayim. Velo shegamar b'libo lo tzi b'sfatav velo hotzi. Aval gamar b'libo stam minayin. Depends what you were thinking. If I was thinking that I wanted to articulate such a shvu'ah, and then I don't articulate it, it doesn't work. Because what I thought was that I want to articulate it. So then I've not accomplished what I wanted to do b'libo. Because my lev said I want to do this, but I want to do it through articulating a shvu'ah. When I don't articulate the shvu'ah, then I haven't accomplished what I gamar b'libo. On the other hand, gamar b'libo stam. If I just in my heart think I want to take such a shvu'ah, that is done. Gamar b'libo, done, minayin. How does that, we know that works? Gamar b'libo stam, minayin, tamalovach shevateh. So the way that we're explaining it here, according to Rav Sheshes differentiates. Everything works. Gamar b'libo also always works. The question is, what were you gamar b'libo? Is the gamar b'libo that you were going to articulate, and therefore the failure to articulate is a failure in the gamar b'libo? Or did you simply gamar b'libo, and then everything's done, and therefore you have a shvuah? And that'll be the case. Now this solves the problem in the braisa. What it doesn't solve the problem is for Shmuel. Elu Shmuel kasha. For Shmuel, that's a problem, because Shmuel said a definitive statement that you can't have dvarim shebelev. Dvarim shebelev enim dvarim. And yet the braisa is suggesting now that dvarim shebelev are dvarim. So it's against the braisa. You have Shmuel going up against the Tana, and Moros, they make a statement against the braisa, against the Tana. So the Rav Sheshes comes along. Rav Sheshes, Taritzvei Mahochi. I can answer for Shmuel, on behalf of Shmuel. He gave the previous answer, but now he gives an alternative answer that which will also work according to Shmuel, which is, Bisvatayim velo shigamar b'libo. But svatayim means yes, but that he's articulated. Velo shigamar b'libo lo tzib. That he wanted to state, that what he wanted to articulate, what he wanted to aser in this shvuah was a patritim, a wheat bread. On the other hand, in the end, what he articulated, what he said was pat seorim. Over there, the shvuah fails, according to the braisa. The shvuah fails because what you stated has nothing to do with what you intended. I intended to aser wheat bread, and I end up saying barley bread. So the articulation has nothing to do with the gamri blow. Ain't libo b'piv shavin. Basically, that's the problem here. Ain't pilo shavin. We don't have a shvuah over here. Right? The hafla'ah is not in concert with or in consonance with that which is in the heart. So that's the problem. It's fatayim a little bit late. On the other hand, what's gamar libo mean over here? That is gamar libo lotzi patchitin. On the other hand, if he intends to say patchitin veotzi patstam, and then he says pat without the modification of chitin, then it works. Minayin that works. Tamaloma lachashiv adam. So Tosfos asked the question. Okay, now what's his shvuah? Then when he says pat stam over here, now what's the shvuah? Is the shvuah pat because it's not soter what's in his lave, or is the pat here mean that what he says in the lave modifies what is coming out of the piv? And that's the direction that Tosfos goes in the end. Tosfos says no. Then in the end, the shvuah is only on pat chitim, even though he only articulated the word pat. What he has in his lave, that which he thought in his lave, pat chitim, will modify the word pat, because there's no stira. When do we say mashigomer belibo has no effect? That's when it's machish, what he's articulating. On the other hand, if what is in his heart is not the machish, but could modify what he stated, it makes sense with what he stated. Over there we say, will modify. Tosis has to clarify, wait, we have other places in Shas where it's only Be'ones that we say that, only under extenuating circumstances do we say that. But Tosis over here wants to suggest that as long as there's no stira between what's in the lave and what you articulated, we will allow you to modify what you articulated with the lave. That's one answer Tosis gives. The second answer Tosis gives, which is a much more palatable answer in the sense that you don't have to go through a lot of gymnastics about that you can have something with the Varim Shua lave modify something that you articulated, is to say, stam pat is pat chitim. When a person uses the term pat, if I was to tell you the word pat without any modification, you would think the word pat means chitim. And therefore, when he states pat over here, even though pat can have a broader definition beyond chitim, if he comes along and later and tells us that the belibo he meant pat chitim, that is very, very logical. It's something that is not extraordinary to explain his shvuah in that manner. What we won't accept from him is if he all of a sudden comes up with a modification to his shvuah, which seems to be far-fetched, or something that is unusual. Over here, when he states that the modification of the word pat, when I said pat, I meant pat chitim, that makes a lot of sense, because the word pat, stam, really does mean pat chitim, unless you define otherwise. It could mean something broader. But if he doesn't mean pat chitim, that we're willing to accept from him. And that's the way Tosfos, the second answer that Tosfos gives, about what the shvua that he takes over here, it is a shvua and pat chitim, but because it's defined, the word pat means pat chitim over here. All right, so now the Gemara says, Meitevei, motzei tzvatecha tishmor ve'asito. Right, that which you state, that which you articulate, you must keep. That's only stuff that he articulates. On the other hand, right, gomer b'limo minayin. How do I know that if he said something hard, how do I know that it works? Tamalomar, kol nidiv leif. Says kol nidiv leif. Anybody, this is bad. Somebody bring the chumata mishkan. When you bring the chumata mishkan, right, it says kol nidiv leif. There, nidiv leif says that anybody who donated based on his leif, that was considered a good donation. Somebody says, Shani Otam, Dichtiv, Kol Nidiv Leiv. Right? So that's the difference. By the Chumata Mishkan, it says Nidiv Leiv. That's why it works over there. Had it not said that in the Pasuk, it wouldn't have worked. Somebody says, Vinigmar Mine. So, okay, let that be the standard. Let that become the paradigm for Gmar Belibo should work in all cases. Mishum Tahava, Truma V'Kodoshim, Shnei K'tuvim Abayim Kechad. Because Truma and Kodoshim are two psukim that come. Anytime you have two psukim that state the same thing, then they're not melamed. If you want to set up a general paradigm, you only have to say it once. If you say it twice, that means that you're not making one a paradigm. You're rather saying these are the exception rather than the rule. If you want to make a rule, you don't have to state it once. If you say something twice, you're saying these are the exceptions and not the rule. That's good according to one who says not melamed. There are those that say even shnei ketuvim abayim kechad are melamdim. Michael Meimar. You're trying to learn chulin out of kodshim, that doesn't work. Now, there's a machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos. When it says truma and kodshim, what is the truma and kodshim? Rashi says here the truma is the trumat lemechet mishkan. That's the donation to the mishkan that we said before. On the other hand, what's the kodshim? That's a posuk from Divrei Yomim by Chizkiyahu, which says, v'chol nidiv lev olot. That breaks down that they donated stuff to the Mikdash. Tosos over here says, you know what, the Chuma over here is, Gabi Chuma Aktiv, Nechshav Lechem Chumat Chem, Shnitla B'machshava. Chuma is talking about real Chuma. Chuma you take off of your grains. Chuma that you're mafrish for the Kohen. That's what it means, Chuma. Because by there it says, by Machshava, you can be mafrish Chuma. So that is something that can be done, believe also. So that's talking about Chuma and Kodshim is the Chuma over there. And the Kodshim over here is talking about, again, he brings the same Pasuk that the Kodshim is coming from the Pasuk in the Divrei Yomim from Chizkiyahu. So it depends which Pasuk you use over here. If you use the Pasuk of Kol Nidiv Leiv, right? That konitiv lev is what teaches you by kodshim that you're donating, or even by divrei yamim that's donating. Then you would say that even donations for berak habayit or for the gabay mizbeach, all those are included in this thing that you could, these items that you can do with machshava. On the other hand, if you bring the pasuk v'konitiv lev olot that is brought in divrei yamim over there, then donations there are only referring to mizbeach. And I think that's the shita of the Rambam. The shita of the Rambam is that only donations to the Mizbeach can be done al Yedei Alev, but that's not true of Berak HaBayit, because he thinks that the Pasuk Chod Nidiv Lev Olot is what then modifies over here. Rashi says that when Nidiv Lev, we have Trumat the Mishkan and Kodshim, so we're talking about both of them. Tosafot over here talks about regular Truma, and he talks about the Nidiv Lev of the Mishkan as well. So, but there, if you take Nidiv Lev Olot as being the definition of what you bring, then Nidiv Olot would mean only by Kodshei Mizbeach does it work, not by Kodshei Bedek Habayit. Okay, we'll stop over here.